Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And today we are once again thrilled to be joined by the amazing, the astounding, the astonishing Bridget Todd. Welcome back, Bridget. We love having you.
Thank you for having me. I am excited to be back.
Yes, we are, as always, glad to have you back. We were talking about this a little off mic before, but happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. Did you do anything fun or how have you been in general?
I have been good. If my voice sounds a little bit raspy, it's because my friends and I did birthday karaoke over the weekend, and there was lots of screaming and singing. And I sometimes get this thing where I don't do a lot of karaoke, but I love karaoke. And I'm that person who, after a few drinks, insists on singing a ballad. And my friends got lucky because the ballad that I wanted to do, they did not have. So, yeah. Friends one, Bridget zero.
Wait, so what is your go-to karaoke song? This says a lot about you.
Oh, God.
I think.
So it depends. For a ballad, I wanted to do an Amy Winehouse song. I wanted to do Me and Mr. Jones, which is a favorite of mine, which they didn't have, which I feel like is like practically a hate crime to not have a robust Amy Winehouse selection at karaoke.
Yeah. How dare you?
Wait, what are your go-to songs?
I am a 90s, like I'm the Gen X millennial person who has to hit my 90s hits. So that it will include TLC, Destiny's Child. If they have Wilson Phillips, which there was a TikTok video about if you want to get Gen X/millennials to stop arguing or stop in their tracks, do a Wilson Phillips Hold On. And I'm like, well, that's rude and right, but it's okay. I didn't need that because I'm also very aware as much as I would love to do a Whitney Houston track, and we usually do like dance with somebody, I want to dance with somebody. I know her range is way out of my league. Although, past host Caroline, she does an amazing rendition of that song.
I believe it, actually. I can see it.
But I'm that girl that love all of those. Then you got to throw some Fiona Apple in there, you know, and then some Backstreet Boys, or for me, NSYNC. I feel like those are my go-to. Sorry, it is.
I'm Backstreet Boys. I do.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm kind of embarrassed by mine.
She's different. I love it.
I have a varied, varied range of karaoke songs. I like to do Mulan. That's such a good one.
I will say that's like all the producers, like our producers, producer Andrew, producer Dylan, like they will get together and Ramsey will get together and do a whole rendition of that song. It is quite fabulous. They do a great job.
I think at a certain point, I'm not very good at karaoke. I love it, but I'm not very good.
And at a certain point, I started thinking of like, what are songs I know people will sing? And those are the songs that I request now. So I do like the Pokemon song.
I've never heard of it until I've seen Pokemon, but I like
that people love it. And I know the lyrics are easy enough. My big one is I do Ludacris Get Back.
Ooh, of course, people, you're from Georgia.
People like are like, you have to do it before karaoke is over. Like, that's the one I'm known for. But then I do, I just like, so many songs I want to sing are like sad songs or they're long songs. And I don't think those are good karaoke songs.
They're not good karaoke songs, but true friends will let you do a ballad or two. Right. Like, that's what I'm like, yes, I agree that good, like fun karaoke to watch is karaoke where it's a silly, fun song, fast paced, everybody's singing along. But I don't know, like you should be able to have your little moment where you do you demand silence so you can sing Amy Winehouse.
Yes. I'm no good. Amy Winehouse is one of my favorites as well.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
I love that one. Sometimes a country song is good.
My partner and I had practiced. We wanted to do a... We wanted to do a duet because it was actually technically both of our birthdays. We have the same birthday.
Oh, and so yeah, that's right.
We were going to do Love Shack. We listened to Love Shack 10 times. We had come up with like dance moves and I don't know if you know that song, but there are like different vocal parts and we had really practiced and then they didn't have it after all that.
What? Okay, first of all, hello, University of Georgia. B-52.
That's right. They're from Athens, Georgia. Athens.
Those are my peoples. Like saying that or R.A.M. How dare you? Why would I not? But yeah, those are challenging songs because their vocals are pretty intense. And the fact that they didn't have it there and you practiced. All right. Can we just you should just do it online. They do it for a TikTok video because there's lots of karaoke apps out there. Or if you're like Andy, you can buy your own machine.
You have your own karaoke machine?
Yes, I do. And it has lights. It has like it's really embarrassing, but it has like the button you press and it goes pew, pew, pew.
Oh my God. Okay, I'm coming over to your house to do karaoke.
If we come to Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
For our podcast hangout.
We're going to do it.
Is it big?
No, no. Yeah.
It's like,
I'm making a sign you can't see, but a sign you can't see listeners, but it's like a smallish box. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we're doing this.
I am so excited to get this done. She's going to carry this on the plane. But if you're doing it for TikTok, we're going to need to do that very quickly because...
Oh, yes. This is a great segue, masterful segue, Samantha.
I did it.
And that is, I mean, I feel like, I think we might have talked about this before, but I feel like we have to get back into it because there's so much going on. And that is what's happening with a potential, maybe sort of TikTok ban in the United States. Have you all been following this?
Oh, I'm glad you brought this up because I was actually going to do this as a Monday mini in this conversation because this is going to affect a lot of marginalized people and we have to talk about it because this is very controversial. But I'm also confused because I don't know where to side because there's so many people on the spectrum for and against that I'm surprised by.
Yeah, this is one of those issues where you have very strange bedfellows, like it's bipartisan legislation. And so, which, you know, for any kind of topic to have folks on either side of the aisle agreeing unanimously is a little bit unusual.
Right.
Some of the people who are coming out against it, in my opinion, are not necessarily who you would imagine.
Exactly.
So I agree. And I guess all of that is to say, I had a very difficult time figuring out where I stood on this legislation. It wasn't until pretty recently that I was like, okay, I feel like I have my opinion made up. But it took me a while to get there exactly because of what you described, Sam.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like we should get into it because, again, I don't really use TikTok. But I did follow it because I was curious about what would happen. Like, oh, if this happens, then what's next?
It's going to set a big precedent. It talks about who has power of what, who is actually getting the information that people are saying they're getting the information. And for me and you, Bridget, who are actually on TikTok, are we seeing an algorithm that is biased, that TikTok is trying to get us on their side? Like, there's so many questions here.
These are all great questions. So let's get into it. So basically, we're calling it a TikTok ban, which is not like incorrect, but it's not technically accurate. So this legislation that we've seen moving through the House in the last few weeks is called Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. And it wouldn't technically ban TikTok specifically. Rather, this legislation, if passed, would block social media apps that are, quote, controlled by a foreign adversary in the United States. Right now, TikTok is owned by the Chinese-based parent company ByteDance. So when it comes to TikTok, what that would mean is that ByteDance would be forced to sell TikTok to an American owner in order to operate in the U.S. if this legislation were to become law. That is kind of a tricky thing. TikTok CEO Shou Chu has repeatedly said, we're not going to do that. We're not interested in selling. Will never happen. And if this legislation were to become law, they would have to do this in about 6 months, which is not a ton of time. I'm certain this would be a very complicated transfer of power. You know, we're talking about a potentially like a multi-billion dollar deal here. And so forcing TikTok to do that in 6 months is like a really tall order, so much so that it is essentially a TikTok ban, even if it's not a ban in a technical sense.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Tennessee just sounds perfect, whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
So recently watched a video on several different TikTok creators, as well as the press conference that the Chinese leaders did. I don't know if you saw this, essentially saying it's actually written in the contract that ByteDance cannot, by law, sell away from China. Like that was always a part of the contract. That's always been there. And to the point that the government, our government, knew that.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me like, everybody's accusing, so this is an actual ban without them saying ban, trying not to be the bad guys.
Exactly. So I keep seeing people being like, well, it's not a ban. Okay, maybe it doesn't use the word ban. Maybe it's not a ban in the most like hyper-technical sense, but functionally, this is a ban, right? Like, I completely agree with you. And even that alone is one of these things that kind of makes me wonder about how this legislation came together. You know, the fact that they are going out of their way to have a carve out to say it's not really a ban when functionally it basically is.
Right. Literally saying these are your options to sell or be banned. And then the actual company being like, well, no, it's in our contract that we can't sell. So,
and you knew this.
You're putting us in a rock, you know, the rock and hard place in that situation of like, no, we're just going to be out. And the Chinese knows that the U.S., as many users as there are not the only users.
Exactly. So that actually brings up like a pretty clear next question of whether or not there is someone who would buy this, right? Like, TikTok, it would probably be a multi-billion dollar sale to acquire TikTok. And there's not really a lot of people who have emerged who are, you know, in a position to buy this. However, former Trump administration Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said last week that he is actually putting together an investor group to buy TikTok. So, yeah, a former Trump administration official could own it. Now, to put that into a little bit of context, that would mean that Elon Musk owns Twitter, Mnuchin would own TikTok, and that would really just be a huge change in our social media landscape. In my opinion, I don't think that would be a change for the better, necessarily.
Right. We already know what's happening with misinformation on Facebook and who dictates all of that, which is very concerning in itself. So that means I will say someone said, and this is a whole different conversation, that Reddit is becoming the new safe space.
Oh, that's so interesting because I've actually found myself, I was like a Reddit power user back right. in the day. And then I stopped using it so much. I started using Twitter and Instagram more. Now I'm like back on Reddit. And there's something about it because like, for me, I really need to have a reliable text-based social media platform. Mm-hmm. As much as I like TikTok, Twitter, you know, I'm a words person. Like I like to read words. I like to write words. Being on camera on video is just a different thing. I like watching other people be on video and be on camera, but I'm a words person. And I think like, so Reddit has kind of reemerged as a place where I'm spending more and more of my time. And it's actually feeling pretty good.
Yeah. And I don't think you're the only one. Like I said, people are calling that kind of a safe space because if they're actually well monitored and you're going to the subreddit that is specifically for you, that has been moderated in a fair and like objective manner. And people
totally.
Are really trusting that system more now because they're worried about TikTok. But back to like we need to talk about what exactly is this legislation that they're trying to pull?
So it passed the House last week, and now it goes to the Senate. President Biden has already said that if it passes the Senate, he will sign it into law. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said that the Biden administration is really looking to the Senate to act quickly on this legislation. And so, like, it could be something that moves fast. However, I will say that as quickly as this legislation passed the House, passing the Senate is looking like it might be a little bit more complicated. A bipartisan group of senators is already sort of signaling that they would not necessarily be down for voting for a TikTok ban. For instance, Senator Rand Paul described the bill as a, quote, draconian measure that stifles free expression, tramples constitutional rights, and disrupts the economic pursuits of millions of Americans. Senator Ed Markey, a Democrat from Massachusetts, argued that the privacy issues that the bill is meant to be, you know, addressing exist far beyond TikTok. So it does kind of seem like it might not be the kind of thing that is quickly and unanimously passed in the Senate. There might be some pushback there.
Yeah, what I understood that Schumer, who is the lead in the Senate, was saying that he is in no hurry to even look at this bill because they have been kind of inundated with a lot of opposition. Again, and this is one of those moments when you said Rand Paul, and Marjorie Taylor Greene all opposing this makes me think that I'm on the wrong side if I sort of agree with them.
Yeah, I mean, listen, so you're exactly right. Chuck Schumer didn't really have anything to say about this legislation and the way that he's, I forget how he said it exactly, but like, to me, it signaled I am not taking a position on this, and I'm in no hurry to make this a priority. That's what it looks like to me. You're so right that the people who are for and against, it is so, because usually it's like, whatever Marjorie Taylor Greene is for, I am probably against, and vice versa, right? But, you know, even I think last week, former President Trump came out against a TikTok ban, which that's a reversal of his previous position.
Right.
So it's like, it is very difficult to figure out where different elected officials stand on this. And it's difficult to use that as a barometer for where, as an individual, folks listening should stand.
I think there's so many conversations because we've already talked about the original ban that we were talking about a long time ago with Sho Chu coming in front of the Senate testifying and then the xenophobic comments that happened time after time and time after time. And this is a whole different conversation that I have to have with myself as an Asian person, because we haven't talked much about the fact that there's a lot of misinformation and there's a lot of kind of conspiracy theories that the U.S.'s xenophobic tactics from the past, in that communism is not good. don't get me wrong in all of this. But the level of evilizing and condemning of the places like China and North Korea, again, not good. But a part of that conversation is because they're not Christian enough. Has been a part of that too. That makes me wonder how much of this is a colonized idea of what they expected China and these other countries to become. And when they are of power because they are not Christian nations, is that part of their what they see as evil of these places and them being successful?
I mean, you really can't have a conversation about the way this legislation has been moving without talking about xenophobia. Mm-hmm. And I wish that wasn't the case, but it is American elected officials who are making that the case. Like, right. I wish we could have this conversation about the merits of this legislation. However, when you have elected officials in hearings making blatantly xenophobic and anti-Asian comments to TikTok CEO, you have to talk about it. Like, it is just inherently part of the conversation. It makes it so that you cannot talk about the legislation on its own without talking about the sort of like rhetoric that you're describing here. And it really does us a disservice, I think, because the American people deserve to see the merits of legislation, you know, discussed. I think that any person who is a CEO of a company as big and as influential as TikTok should be comfortable being grilled in front of elected officials. And the American public should have a sense of like what they're thinking about. However, when you retreat into these harmful, anti-Asian, xenophobic stereotypes and claims and theories, you are doing everybody a disservice because we don't get that, right? We're talking about the xenophobia, and we have to talk about the xenophobia because you brought it up. You injected it into the conversation. Right. Does that make sense?
The entire time. And calling them the enemy state. Again, don't get me wrong. I know that the history is complicated. The Chinese government has done a lot of bad things. The U.S. government has done a lot of bad things. So this is like the back and forth of like what is happening. But then also it kind of comes down to the fact that, again, it may be because I do enjoy TikTok and I do go through and like love my dog videos. I love my cute little animal. I saw otters. They're adorable. I want one. But like all these things and making it seem like if they shut down TikTok, and it like that is shutting down the voice of the people. And it's kind of interesting to see what TikTok is doing in trying to respond to the government. It's like us against them, like seemingly.
Totally. So some of y'all might have gotten like big alerts when you tried to open TikTok the last few days, urging you to call your member of Congress and tell them that you do not want a TikTok ban. I actually didn't get one. Maybe they know that I'm in D.C. and like there's not a member of Congress that I could call. I could call Eleanor Holmes Norton, but she doesn't get a vote. So like they're like, we're not going to waste our time targeting Bridget with this ad. But the alert reads, stop a TikTok shutdown. Congress is planning a total ban of TikTok. Speak up now before your government strips 170 million Americans of their constitutional right to free expression. This will damage millions of businesses, destroy the livelihoods of countless creators across the country, and deny artists an audience. Let Congress know what TikTok means. Over the weekend, they also did a push notification that folks might have gotten to their phones, pretty much saying the same thing. It honestly does sound like this is working. Congressional staffers say that their phones were like ringing off the hook. One House GOP staffer told Politico that it was so, so bad. Our phones have not stopped ringing. There are teenagers and old people saying they spend their whole day on the app and we cannot take it away.
You know, one creator was talking about the fact that they actually said there was a lot of millennial women calling in. They were kind of surprised how many millennial women and when a middle-aged millennial women were calling in talking about this was going to affect their business.
Yeah, actually, Essence just put out a really, really interesting article about how many specifically Black women entrepreneurs and creators were really using TikTok to promote their businesses and like find a foothold in ways that they were unable to do on other platforms, and how much a TikTok ban was concerning to them and their livelihoods economically. And so that doesn't surprise me at all. I also wanted to make one other comment about that, which is that I think that TikTok has a reputation of being like a young person's app. And certainly it has a lot of young users. However, the average TikTok user's age is 30, right? And so that's like, I would call a 30-year-old young, but like a 30-year-old votes, you know, like these are people who, you know, we're not talking about a children's app. And I think that perception is really not correct. And I think that's the perception that people have.
Right. Which is an interesting, because like I know the original idea of TikTok was younger users, much younger, when it was like the dance app, which I like dancing. I want to see people dance. I can't do those moves, but I want to see them. But it was interesting. And I know that's the big conversation of like who is using it, who this is affecting, and who is able to get on it. Of course, we've already had that conversation of like how quickly that's changing too, and how quickly they will shadow ban many of marginalized communities. But that's here or there.
Totally. And so just one other thing about these push notifications and stuff. I have seen a lot of people say that TikTok urging users to take political action is evidence enough that the app is bad, that they're like demanding that teenagers call their congressperson or whatever, and that like you shouldn't have an app telling young people what to do or whatever. But this is so common for tech companies to do. Both Uber and Lyft have sent out similar push notifications asking for users to contact Congress or do certain things. And so TikTok is not the only tech company or app that has done this kind of thing. And people trying to act like this push notification action was completely beyond the pale, it's certainly not. It happens all the time.
Right. Which I feel like, if I remember correctly, different Twitter accounts would have the like, you know, you could have the one link and they would often do like at least like petitions.
Yes.
I remember during a lot of the Black Lives Matter stuff and many of the murdering of the Black community, they would have links and petitions that would happen through Twitter. So none of these things are new. I'm wondering again, and I know this is that bigger conversation of like maybe I'm just too caught up in some conspiracy theories, but some of the conversations that have happened with the pro-Palestinian movement and what's happening there, and many consider genocide, I consider a genocide happening there, that TikTok has been one of the biggest platforms to actually have conversations about that. And through that, because they do have like the link tree that do have petitions and alerts and all of these things, like that has happened. And I know there's a conversation about whether or not that's part of this motivation.
Totally. I have so much to say about that. I will say first, I think a lot of the conversation around how conversations about what's happening in Palestine are unfolding on TikTok, I think a lot of the conversation about that, to me, feels a little bit ageist and condescending. Like, it's this idea that like, oh, well, if young people are, you know, if they feel a certain way about what's happening in Palestine, certainly that is a problem, and it is TikTok's fault, as opposed to saying like, well, maybe young people are smart and with it and like looked at the information available to them and came to a conclusion, and you know, treating that with the respect that it deserves. I see a lot of older elected officials sort of hand-wringing and being like, oh, well, the only way that our kids could come to this conclusion is that if this app is like tricking them into it. And so there have been a lot of interesting conversations about how that fits into this legislation to potentially ban TikTok. This concern about where young people are finding themselves when it comes to conversations about Palestine.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way.
Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. I guess this brings us to a question that I feel like the answer is kind of clear. We've kind of talked about it, or at least a part of it's clear. Why is this happening in the first place, Bridget?
It's a great question. So if you take these lawmakers at their word, if you take the name of the legislation at its word, lawmakers say that TikTok is a national security risk because it's owned by China, and that the app could be compelled by the Chinese government to manipulate public opinion because, you know, they are, you know, TikTok does have this like super powerful algorithm that they can use to boost certain content, suppress certain content, that they could collect mass data on Americans or even spy on individual Americans. And so that's sort of like what lawmakers are saying they are trying to prevent with this legislation.
Okay. But is that actually the thing?
So I should say here, this is a little above my pay grade, but as somebody who has done a lot of looking into this and had many, many, many interviews on it, this threat, my understanding, this threat is just purely hypothetical. You know, The Intercept has published a piece about how when pushed on these threats and like when asked, you know, like, what is the threat? Is there a smoking gun? The FBI uses phrases like, oh, China could do XYZ. If they wanted to, China could potentially do X, right? Like, it seems to me that there is not a smoking gun or like hard evidence that this is happening or that there's a plan for this to happen. Now, you might be listening and saying like, well, why should we have to wait until there's a smoking gun? Why should we have to wait until there's evidence that this is happening? And that's a fair point. But as of right now, they would be passing this law to deal with a hypothetical or potential threat that currently there is just not evidence that it's going on.
Right. Another creator that I was looking at had actually posted, I think, a recent list showing that the likelihood of information being farmed, and Facebook and Amazon and Instagram were top three, while TikTok was actually at number 12.
Yes. So I'm so glad that you brought that up. The fact of the matter is that we have a social media and digital landscape that is just rife with bad actors and corporate interests and corporations who are doing bad things, in some cases breaking the law, to make money off of us and to exploit us. That is just a fact. I don't like it. Nobody should like it, but it is what it is. And so this legislation, to me, really seems like it's cracking down on TikTok for having the same problems and same issues that Facebook, Google, Twitter all have, for exploiting us in the same, potentially exploiting us in the same ways that every other social media platform has, but regulating them because it's China. And this is my opinion. I think that this is really more about the United States wanting to remain the top dog when it comes to big tech, right? Like, I think I saw some joke that was like, oh, like, China wants my data. Don't they know that's reserved for Mark Zuckerberg? I think that's exactly what's going on here. I think that lawmakers have figured out that by, you know, being tough on TikTok, they can, one, you know, act tough on taking down China, and two, make it seem like they are sort of being tough on big tech while actually doing nothing when it comes to regulate big tech. Because just the fact of the matter is, big tech companies enjoy a pretty cozy relationship financially with a lot of elected officials. And so if they were actually to talk tough on American big tech, that conversation might get a little bit thorny. But by regulating TikTok in this way, they kind of get the point and the appearance of being like we're taking on big tech while really doing nothing about taking on big tech.
I mean, we know that they let some laws some policies drop in order to protect tech companies and their liability way back when, and have been doing so for a minute. But I think it's interesting, and I'm sure you've seen this, Jeff Jackson, Representative Jeff Jackson, who actually really made his headway in TikTok. Like, his videos, his like common sense takes seemingly in Congress really like had him going like really high in the polls, and people were talking about him being president, him being so great, for like being common sense and all these things. And then he got called out for voting yes to the TikTok ban, which made him like this, the people that followed him made that for him. And then him coming back on saying that, you know, I don't think it's going to be banned. It's not going to be banned. It's fine. No, I'm just a little concerned because, you know, what's in my ear. And then on top of that, people showing why some of these possibly like the conspiracy theories about why. And it's the different people who are paying, the lobbyists who are coming through, who are actually pushing this narrative really hard.
I mean, it's some of these aren't conspiracy theories, right? Like, we know that Facebook or Meta has pumped so much money into anti-TikTok PR, like negative PR, right? Facebook worked with a company called Targeted Victory to get like negative op-eds about TikTok placed in newspapers so that elected officials would see them. Like, this is just a documented thing, right? Like, I don't think anybody at Facebook would deny this is happening. It's like a matter of public fact. And so we do got to ask some questions about why? Because certainly a TikTok ban would be great for Facebook and great for Mark Zuckerberg. And they are certainly spending a lot of money to push a certain negative public perception of TikTok with elected officials. Like, I remember when there was a hearing a couple last year about TikTok, and Facebook had paid Targeted Victory to put op-eds in papers about like how young people had really unfortunately died or hurt themselves doing so-called TikTok challenges. However, obscuring the reality that some of those TikTok challenges actually originated on Facebook, right? And so it's like, rather than having the conversation about, well, what platforms were actually responsible for this harm? And like let's talk about this harm to kids, which we should be doing. It's just a way of making TikTok the boogeyman and letting Facebook off the hook for harms that they also participate in.
Right. Kind of related back to our shops, when we're talking about TikTok shops, there's a conversation that Amazon have jumped on board because they have lost sales due to TikTok shops. So that's a whole different conversation. Again, so many things that you're like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, money. I mean, everybody has a stake in this a little bit. Like, Amazon and Jeff Bezos certainly have a financial stake in what's going to happen with TikTok, because TikTok is really aggressively pushing TikTok shop as a way to compete with online retailers like Amazon. And so Amazon obviously has a financial stake in what happens with TikTok. And so we just got to be more honest, I think, and have a bit more of an honest assessment of the major players and why they might be taking the positions that they're taking.
Right. But let's say all this is just hearsay and conspiracies, as I'm saying, even though we've already talked about it, it's not. Is TikTok trying to balance out the fears?
So they are. TikTok's attempt to balance out these fears is what they're calling Project Texas. So TikTok has committed to spend $1.5 billion on this plan, which would essentially enact a firewall between TikTok and employees of its Chinese-based parent company, ByteDance. It would sort of set up this United States-based firm called Oracle as a kind of a watchdog to scrutinize TikTok's source code and, I guess, like act like a third-party monitor for potential security risks. So basically they're like, okay, if you are so worried about it, we will set up this firewall and we will put an American tech firm in charge of being a watchdog to make sure everything is on the up and up. Will that actually be enough to satisfy these lawmakers? It sounds like the answer is no so far. Like, I have not actually seen a lot of people talking about Project Texas as a thing that is actually going to ameliorate the concerns that these lawmakers are saying that they have.
I'm trying to imagine if they chose the name Project Texas to try to win.
Oh, I'm sure. Like,
oh,
what,
my gosh.
What conveys, like, patriotism and, like, Americanism and, like, rah, rah, United States? Project Texas.
You got freedom. Texas.
Now, this is really interesting to me because I had to take a moment. I was reading up about this because, again, I was just curious about what would happen. And I was reminded of, you know, when I was in China, you know, Twitter is banned, Facebook is banned, Instagram is banned, Google is not allowed. Google left voluntarily, but then is kind of like, no. But everybody used a VPN to just like use it anyway. So I was just thinking about like, what would that be? What was that going to look like? It's just, it's a really fascinating kind of terrifying thing. But I guess the last time you were here, we were talking about this. And, you know, we were talking about still the same things of, which I know we'll get to later about, you know, marginalized communities being affected. Because again, in China, that was a huge blow that they couldn't use these things. But also, you know, having these spaces is really important, but they do have their issues. And last time you were here, you were talking about like TikTok and what is going on there with their issues.
Totally. So someone listening to this might be like, wow, Bridget is like being paid by TikTok or something. Although, as we discussed, I am wearing a TikTok sweatshirt right now that I got as free swag from an event, only because it's the comfiest sweatshirt I've ever worn.
Yeah.
However, like, I will be the first person to tell you all the different ways that I think that TikTok is messing up. I don't want to make it seem like I think TikTok is great. It definitely has very big issues that deserve to be talked about, that they deserve to be made accountable for, you know? Just like any social media platform in 2024, there are some very valid concerns around TikTok and security and other things too. And anybody who tells you that there isn't just does not know the facts. So we talked about how lawmakers are concerned that TikTok could like spy on Americans. They actually have kind of done that already. You know, there were reports that TikTok accessed journalist information to identify which employees were leaking information about the platform. TikTok basically admitted to doing this according to an internal email. They were asked about this and they were like, well, it's not really spying. And it does sound like spying to me. You know, I get what they're kind of saying, that it's not like they were spying on random American citizens for no reason. They were spying on specifically journalists to answer a specific question. To me, spying is spying. So like, it's not like they have a squeaky clean record on that, which I think people should just be aware of. Also, there's like plenty of other non-spying reasons that your average person who uses TikTok or like has a child or a sibling or something that uses TikTok should be concerned about, right? When it comes to moderation, like Sam was talking about, how TikTok impacts mental health. One of the things I wish that we talked about more is just like how addictive these platforms are, how they are intentionally made to keep you scrolling for longer and longer and longer, even when they know this is actually harming them. This is actually making them feel bad. Like they know this, right? This is not news to them. And yet they still design their platforms to be as addictive as possible. These are questions I wish we had answers to, right? Things like algorithmic suppression or algorithmic manipulation. Like, are they showing you some things and not showing you other things, and why? Of course, the spread of things like mis and disinformation and pushing users into extremist content. But as much as these are things that we should be talking about, none of them are specific to just TikTok. And so I have a problem with this idea that the only reason that we should care about these issues is when the platform is owned by a Chinese-based parent company. I don't understand why we can't then say like, okay, well, if these are problems, let's actually address the problem and let's actually call out the different corporations who are doing the exact same thing, because it's not just TikTok. And it makes it seem like they're making TikTok into this singular boogeyman when anybody who has used Facebook or Twitter or Instagram knows that is not the case.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire,
with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
I mean, Twitter in itself is a cesspool of white supremacist, not neo-Nazi movement.
Yes.
Yeah. I was thinking about this too, because I was like, you know, It's really, if we lose TikTok, we've already kind of lost Twitter. Like, we're losing these spaces.
Yeah.
And they were important. Like, there is such a use and a value in them. And it is, sometimes I feel like when people don't use them or they don't understand them, they dismiss that. They're just like, but there is so much happening and so much being shared that is important on them. We already lost Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think that context is really important of what will it be like when, if there is no TikTok and Twitter is functionally not usable, you know, for particularly for marginalized people, right? Like, you know, I feel like I cannot use Twitter without seeing transphobia, racism, horrible conspiracy theories, harassment. And so it's not a platform that I can really tolerate spending a lot of time on anymore. So for marginalized people who do not want to be subjected to that kind of nonsense, where, if we lose TikTok, where's the organizing happening, right? Again, to add even a little more context, folks might have seen a couple of weeks ago that Meta made an announcement that they are going to be deprioritizing content about political and social issues, right? And so if they are making that choice and it's going to be that much harder for political and social issues, which Meta has a track record of really defining those issues as issues pertaining to women, queer folks, trans folks, Black folks, right? Those are the issues when they say political issues and social issues from their own behavior, like that is what they mean. They have a whole track record of suppressing content about abortion access and Palestinian activism and Black activism and things that pertain to marginalized communities. So that being the case, where are we supposed to do our organizing? Where are we supposed to build power online, particularly given that building power online has been so important to traditionally marginalized communities? It's really a deep question that I'm quite concerned about.
Right. And honestly, platforms like TikTok really help with brand new creators. Like, this is where you can see, like, there's not nepotism working. It's literally people who go viral for whatever reason, good or bad, but essentially they're just making it on their own, whether it's, sure, algorithm has everything to do with it, but we're able to see more and more content from everyday people, like everyday people who get to do great content, and people can pick and choose who they want to follow and who they don't want to follow. And it's actually something that they do on their own. And I know YouTube once upon a time was that kind of same idea as well, but with this level of like needing to be ad sponsored on YouTube, that kind of has gone away. You already need a connection, whether it's through an agency, whether it's through something, to actually make big again on YouTube, as where TikTok has kind of become that new YouTube where you can be discovered as a brand new thing.
Yeah, in that article I mentioned, in essence, about the Black women entrepreneurs who were really concerned about a TikTok ban, that was something they really made clear, is that on YouTube, in order to find success, you have to have, in a kind of way, already have some sort of name or connection. It is very difficult to sort of start from zero and start building up. I'm hearing that YouTube Shorts, this sort of like new TikTok competitor on YouTube, might be a little easier. So like that's a platform that folks might want to check out. But it just goes to show that like, it's just so hard to use social media to build a platform for yourself. And with all of these changes and with the different platforms changing so rapidly, not to mention the overall landscape changing so rapidly, that is certainly going to hurt marginalized people the most. People who don't necessarily have access to like traditional media outlets and like legacy media and things like that. And so it's just really clear to me that we are potentially gearing up to a digital media landscape where it is that much harder for underrepresented voices to be heard equitably and in a way that's truly representative.
Right. So with all of that and all the conversations that I'm throwing out with all the things that I've seen on my algorithm, what do you just kind of lay out there what you think is really happening right now?
So as I said, I think that lawmakers have really sensed that like they need to be cracking down on TikTok. It will help them kind of look tough on China, will also kind of help them look like they're doing something to rein in big tech, even though they're not. I think that the United States really wants to remain a major player when it comes to big tech, but also the like massively lucrative data collection industry. I think that like this is really about that concern to me, because, you know, if we really wanted better data privacy, which we should have, it does not begin and end with banning TikTok. Are especially when all of our data is essentially for sale to whoever wants it, which if you're an American, I'm sorry to report that it's just true. Anybody out there who wants to buy your address, your phone number, really any piece of information about you can do that, and they can do it legally. And so that's, to me, that's something that seems bad. And that includes countries like China. Only a few weeks ago, back in February, Biden signed an executive order that ostensibly was meant to limit the sale of some of our data to, quote, countries of concern. But this order really just put some limitations on the sale of American data. As Wired points out, U.S. data brokers need only take a few steps to ensure that overseas customers follow certain security requirements during the transfer, many of which were already required by law. So I really just have a hard time understanding why TikTok is such a threat, given that China would not even need TikTok to get our data. As long as they follow certain guidelines, they can legally buy it the same as anybody else.
It's just literally like, okay, so you didn't give us money for it. That's why we want to ban you.
Yes.
We couldn't make a profit out of it, which is hilarious because I think I've received in the last 3 months alone at least 4 different letters telling me that my data has been breached by all these different companies. Like my healthcare provider told me I've got a breach. My insurance told me I got a breach. I want to say one of my credit cards got a breach. My bank that has my mortgage got a breach. So I'm like, So everybody's got my data. According to my information, they all have it.
Yeah, that is just the state of being an American. It's like, right? You wake up, buy a coffee, and then you get a notification 5 seconds later that's like, oh, we got it. We gotcha. Right. Whatever information that you have, we have.
Right. And what's so even funnier to me is instead of the government changing or going after these people hardcore, I'm sure it's like small fish get actual jail time or whatever, whatnot. Instead, all of these agencies and corporations are changing their terms of agreement to tell me that I can't sue them for their bad breach.
Yeah, if anybody uses Roku, right. You might have seen recently, you had to agree to some new terms and conditions. And those terms and conditions were like, you can't sue us if we do something wrong to you.
If you breached information, you can't sue us for losing all your money.
If you want to watch this episode of Gilmore Girls, you have to give away your ability to sue us.
I mean, but like, what's so funny is every single individual network has told us too. Like, Hulu has sent that out. And I was like, what the hell is this? And the other part to all of this, like for Roku, the only way you can opt out is by sending them a physical letter.
Doesn't that really tell you everything about how these companies are showing up in this day and age? That like,
yes.
And I guess like to close, like that's sort of, I just think that that dynamic, the dynamic that says that American tech companies can do whatever they want to you, take whatever they want from you, exploit you in any way they want, make money from you and your kids, however they see fit, if it makes them richer and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. I think that that is really what we're bumping up against here. I think that people are sick of it. And I think that this whole song and dance about TikTok really highlights that it's not just about this one app. It is about an entire rotten ecosystem where we are being exploited to make somebody else richer. And I think people have really come to see that, like, that is what we need to be talking about. That is what we need to be really deeply rethinking and reassessing.
Yeah. And I think one of the things I love about when you come on, Bridget, and your show is that there are so many things that are so gatekeeping in the technology world where so many things have been invented or crafted by women, marginalized communities, and then are like overtaken or bought by people. And it is a way of keeping us off out of these spaces. Like you can, there are just numerous examples of times where it's like, well, okay, I can't use this anymore because I'll run into all of this hateful stuff. I can't use this anymore because I'll run into all this hateful stuff. So it is a really important issue in terms of intersectionality and feminism. And as we're moving into elections, oh my God, like I'm just so concerned about a lot of it. But it is like, if we, again, did lose TikTok, it would be another space where that's gone. We can't show up anymore.
Yeah. And, you know, women, people of color, trans folks, queer folks, we are technology. Like, we are what makes technology what it is. We have been at the forefront of all of this, of computers becoming commonplace, of cell phones becoming what they are, of smartphones, iPhones, all of it. We have been at the forefront of that since the very beginning. And so I guess I just want to challenge anybody listening, whether you're for a TikTok ban, against it, never use TikTok, never would use it, really see this domain and these conversations and these spaces as yours to be part of, yours to take up space in, yours to show up in, yours to care about. I think a big part of that sort of gatekeeping that you spoke about, Annie, is this idea that we, A, don't belong in these spaces, which is BS. We do. We invented them. You're welcome. Or B, that we can't be involved in them because we're not smart enough, you don't have the background, whatever, whatever. I don't have any kind of hard tech degree or anything. You don't need a hard tech degree to know when you're being taken advantage of by a tech leader. You don't need a degree in it to know when a digital experience does not feel good and is not validating and it is exploitative, right? You are the expert of your technological experience, and don't let any of these tech bro losers tell you otherwise. You are smarter than Elon Musk. Whoever listening to this, you are smarter than Elon Musk. I guarantee it. I don't know who you are, but I can guarantee you Elon Musk is stupider than you are, for sure.
Right. I mean, he's bankrupted 2 companies. Have you?
Yeah, exactly. How many companies have you bankrupted? Probably none, right?
Exactly.
Maybe
then
one.
You're fine.
You're fine.
Samantha sent me a TikTok recently about this study about how male gamers who are bad are the ones that are real pissed off.
Right.
And we talked about this, Bridget, in our episode we did on gatekeeping and online gaming. And I was like, yeah, see, you guys just suck.
Yeah, but most of the trolls who were on the gaming network were the ones who were actually really bad at the game. Those are the only trolls that you really see.
Yes. Of course.
I'm
that
good.
Makes so
I'm
much
a
sense.
Good gamer. Don't come in my space.
You suck and you're taking it out on Annie.
Stop it.
Yes. Well, we always love having you, Bridget. Thank you so much. I'm sure we'll be following up on this. We'll see what happens. But in the meantime, where can the good listeners find you?
You can check out my podcast, There Are No Girls on the Internet. You can find me on Instagram at Bridget Marie in DC, on Blue Sky at Bridget Todd, on Threads at, I think my Threads name is the same as my Instagram name. I think I have to double check if that's true, but you could try that. And you can find me on TikTok at Bridget Todd Makes Pods.
Yes. And you should do that if you haven't already, listeners, and check out all Bridget has done on this show for sure. Yes, thank you for being here. And listeners, if you would like to contact us, you can. Our email is stephanieatmomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at Momstuff Podcast or on Instagram and TikTok, as Stefan never told you. We have a TeePublic store and we have a book you can get wherever you get your books. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Stefan never told you is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.